Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the 53rd episode of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. Well, we are 53 episodes deep and we have a good one for you today. I was joined by an absolutely incredible soul. I was delighted to get her in because you know that every time I have someone sitting on the chair with me, I love them sharing their story. And more often than not, it's a new story. It's opening my mind, it's opening your mind, and we're learning new things. But myself and Tasha, who came in with me today, we had a really great chat talking about everything that she does and everything that we share a common thread in how we think. So it was great to get her in, and we had met before at a wellness event. We were both doing a talk, and we didn't get to catch up, so today was really special. So the 53rd episode of The First Exchange is with Natasha Vavasor. I'm so glad I got her surname correct. But Natasha is a cacao events facilitator. Before I let you go, enjoy the next episode of the podcast. And do not forget, our wonderful partners at Dubliner Whiskey are giving you the opportunity to win your very own bottle of Dubliner Whiskey. All you've got to do is go to our social media, Instagram.com/TheFirstExchange, and simply enter the competition, and not one but two lucky winners could have the opportunity of getting a delicious bottle of Dubliner whiskey. Not only that, but if you're not lucky in the competition, you can still get a little gift, and that is 10% off Dubliner whiskey over at the dld.com website. All you've got to do is pop in the promo code Lydia, that is L-Y-D-I-A, and you will get 10% off. So perfect for coming up to a Christmas gift or a birthday gift or just a gift for a friend that you love. So head over to dld.com and get yourself 10% off. So I will let you go enjoy the 53rd episode of The First Exchange with Natasha, and you can find out all about cacao and Natasha's journey within it. Natasha, thank you so much for coming into the First Exchange podcast.
Pleasure.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
I'm so excited to see you, because we only met once very briefly before, and we didn't get to, I thought we were going to have a little catch up or a hangout, but we didn't get to. We were both speaking at a women in wellness event in Nace, I think it was. It was actually my first time doing any kind of a talk like that, and I was absolutely terrified, but I pulled it off.
I vividly remember that. Like, I still to this day cannot recall what I spoke about on the stage. Full blackout. And I remember then watching you after, and I was like, that's how I want to do it. You were so full. It was just like you were just having a chat with me. You were just cracking all the jokes. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, you know, I was like, when I was preparing for it, I was like watching all these TED Talks and like all these different, you know, how to do it, like speak in front of people and set webinars and all this kind of stuff. And I just got really overwhelmed. I was like, I just felt like this isn't who I was. So I'd done the slideshow. My talk was on Just Say Yes. So it was about, no matter if you feel that you can or you can't do anything, when an opportunity arises, just say yes and then figure out how to do it afterwards, or, you know, do it. And then if it's not for you or you didn't enjoy it, then at least you actually done whatever it was, you know, come out of your comfort zone, essentially. So I just had the what's the thing called that you put up behind you?
PowerPoint.
Like. PowerPoint. I had that done. Spent ages on it. Used some like really 1980s like crappy app to do it. And then I was like, I couldn't remember anything that I had written. So I literally just went up and just told a story. Like just told my life kind of and went with it. But it was good fun. I enjoyed it. And yeah, the fear was gone. And then I was like, do you know what? I think I'd like to do this again.
Same.
I could do it again.
Yeah, you go from like, oh, Jesus, get this over with.
Yeah.
I could probably
I just remember you being barefoot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish I had pretty feet like Natasha, because I'd like to be barefoot too.
There wasn't a hope I could have anything on my feet. Like, I was just like, the whole day I just kept needing to go to the bathroom. I just like was so, I've never been so nervous. And I do remember what I spoke about, because also I had the PowerPoint, but I can't actually remember. Like, it's like blackout.
What you said?
Yeah,
it's funny,
weird,
isn't it? So cacao.
Yes.
My little cacao expertise over here. For people that don't know what a cacao facilitator is, please let us know.
Sounds very fancy.
It does. It does.
So I suppose cacao is a plant medicine. I suppose a lot of us know it as something that we maybe add to our smoothies. But when you go to the purest form of it, it becomes a plant medicine when it's not processed. So a cacao facilitator is essentially just someone who holds space and serves cacao as a heart-opening medicine, as a spiritual practice, as a creative experience.
So where, first of all, let's delve into cacao and then talk about your experiences and what got you onto the path of wanting to be a facilitator. When you talk about cacao being a medicine, essentially, there'll be a lot of people listening that'll be like, cacao as in like chocolate, as in, you know, what I mix into my milk, or, you know, so what is the differentiation, and where did this sort of the medicine aspect of cacao come from? Give us an understanding of it.
So it, like, in Guatemala and the places where cacao natively grows, like, there's a Krilo cacao, and it's in the rainforest, so it's grown in this pure rainforest ancient way, and it's just left alone. It's native, so as it's grown in this sacred land, and it's collecting all of the vibration of the, you know, I like it, like, it's very hard for me to articulate in a way that like Irish people can digest.
Yeah,
because they're like, oh, go away.
Yeah, but no, do because there will be people listening that'll,
for sure. So I suppose a good example is that, like, when you go for a walk in nature and you're around trees, you naturally start to feel yourself calming, because we go into resonance with our environment very fast. So when the cacao is grown in this sacred land, it's absorbing all of the properties directly from the tree. So when it's picked and then it's peeled and it's fermented and we receive it as a big solid block, that's the only process it's gone on. So it's been so intentional, it's been so pure, it's been so minimal. So that's, I suppose, what separates, like, just your cacao powder from the health store to cacao being used as like a plant medicine or as a medicinal heart opening experience, is the process, really. So Keith, who I get my cacao from, he's
your dealer,
the chocolate shaman. He is in Guatemala, and he just had this instinct that there was something out there, and he just went foraging, and he eventually found this like ancient tribe, and they said, we were waiting for you, like, we knew somebody was going to come that was going to bring this to the Western world. And that's essentially what his mission has been. And then one by one, people have just traveled and found it and brought it back, and it's just spread so fast.
Wow.
And like, he has his whole, so he has a Krilo cacao. So sometimes they can be a plantation of trees where they were grown and harvested for the purpose of cacao being taken. These trees are native to the land. So he goes out and speaks to them like he would his wife. So the whole process is just pure love. And I suppose that's what makes something medicine. It's the intention behind it.
Yes. It's very, very interesting, isn't it? Because we've now come into a time where the word medicine has been so westernized and infiltrated by dark forces of evil, aka Big Pharma. So, you know, there is, you know, when people think medicine, they automatically think doctor, hospital, bright room, you know, pills and all that kind of stuff that goes with it. So for people that aren't really accustomed to the more holistic, natural element of medicine, this will be very interesting to them. And this is why I really wanted to get you on, because I'm very conscious that I don't want to have a platform where I just share all my views, and that I have people on who I think are great. I mean, I do think they're great, but I want, you know, how would I say? I want to have a varied platform because I want the listener to have different experiences of what's out there or you know, what potentially might resonate with them. And to have you from, like, we'll say that background to look at cacao like medicine and to the whole sort of environment that you've created around it, I'm hoping that someone will listen and be inspired or be intrigued, or it will resonate with them in some way. And then through that, a new door into sort of a more holistic living might be out there. Because for me, I only started to prosper when I started to embrace a more holistic lifestyle.
Yeah. And like, that's it. I always like to preface that I grew up in Dublin. Like, yeah. Neither of my parents are hippies or spiritual or anything like that. So this is like, I had to go on that journey as well to understanding, like, medicine didn't just mean what you got from the doctor when you're physically sick.
Mm.
Like, so I suppose it's starting to look at, like, yeah, it's, that's such a great question, like, redefining what we see as medicine. So we think medicine is for when we're sick.
Mm-hmm.
But what if, like, medicine was for your heart or mm-hmm. for just enliven in a sense of feel good inside of you? Do you mm-hmm. know, what if it wasn't we waited until we're sick? What if we just start to see everything as medicine for our emotions, for our mental health, for our feel mm-hmm. good factor, rather than just I'm sick, I need medicine? Like, it's like we have multiple bodies and multiple ways of experiencing the mm-hmm. world beyond our physicality. And I suppose when you see from that perspective, then it's, I'd like to say, medicine for the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us are just very brokenhearted, and we think heartbreak is only after a breakup or if somebody mm-hmm. dies or whatever. But a lot of us live in a state of brokenheartedness or closed heartedness.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it as medicine to open your heart again, to feel alive, to feel uplifted, to feel well,
mm.
you know, rather than I'm sick, I need medicine to make me better.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at it as medicine for life, medicine for zest, do you know? Yeah. So I suppose that's the area in which I, when I say medicine, what I mean is just that it's medicine is we need something.
Yeah.
And then whatever it is that meets that need was the medicine mm-hmm. for the need.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say cacao is a plant medicine or a heart medicine, it's that this whole world, particularly the Western world, and it's why we live in such disharmony,
mm.
is because none of us operate from our heart. Mm. We're all operating from our heads. And heads just clash with our heads because mm-hmm. we're all thinking and we're all so strong in our beliefs and our opinions, and then we just keep clashing and fighting with each other.
Yeah.
But if I am in an open-hearted place, and you're in an open-hearted place, and we share different opinions or beliefs, we still love each other.
Absolutely.
Because it's a free flow of love and energy. It's mm-hmm. not my belief and your belief are different, so now we can't be friends.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's just returning people. It's the medicine that we need to open the heart mm-hmm. so we can operate from a different space than we ever have.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose the time that we're living in now, 2020, it's like, everything has just surface leveled. Everything has just come to the top. And, you know, when I am listening to podcasts, more spiritually ended podcasts, and watching different stuff on maybe YouTube or Gaia or whatever it is. And, you know, the lesson there is that this is your testing. You're now being tested to the maximum because everything is just coming together. And there's so many different opinions, and people are scared, there's fear, there is, you know, frequencies are off. So we're all being tested, especially those who would consider themselves, you know, I don't want to say like I am spiritual, but I sometimes feel like when you say spiritual, people get the kind of idea that I'm like barefoot hugging a tree. Now, I frequently am barefoot hugging a tree, but it's not the the stereotypical hugging a tree, you know. But so this year has been testing us all, you know, so it's coming to the surface. But for yourself, I mean, you're saying that, you didn't grow up, you grew up in Dublin
mm.
and you didn't grow up in a house that was maybe spiritual, with spiritual parents. So in terms of your own journey, how did you get onto this sort of way of living or this lifestyle or this almost awakening, shall we say?
And it's funny that you say that, like, you don't, the stereotypical barefoot hugging a tree. I remember my first cacao ceremony. Like, I remember being called to it and then going and just feeling like I didn't belong.
Yeah.
Because I am spiritual, but I don't look or behave in this certain spiritual way,
yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And I felt like I didn't belong, but I knew that this cacao, this thing that I was drinking and experiencing, it was like kind of just left in the hippie world. And I was like, no, this is for everyone. But people are, it's not reaching them because it looks like it's only for people who are barefoot hugging trees.
Yeah.
Do you know? But yeah. It's so much more. And that was nearly my mission. Like, my mission was, because I remember it, I'll never forget, like, I got there and you take your shoes off at the door and everybody had hemp shoes and I had Adidas runners on, bright yeah. orange. And I was like, I just felt so judged. And I was like, no, I'm going to change this. Like, this is not right. Because, like, this is for everybody.
Yeah.
This is for everybody. And then, yeah, and then during lockdown, I suppose, like, my most common message was, like, I don't really know why I want to try this. I don't know what it is. It's not something I would ever usually do, but something inside me wants to try it.
And that is key.
That's it.
That's the key part. Because that's the bravery.
Yeah.
That's the bravery right there. Because people always say to me about, like, you know, I spoke so much on this podcast about my own personal journey and, you know, being brave enough to make the changes and different things. And, you know, while you actually have to practice in it every day, every month, and you have to keep on top of your upkeep, your mental upkeep or your physical upkeep or whatever it is, it was that initial stage for me. It was jiu-jitsu. When I started jiu-jitsu, that's when everything changed. But it was that initial bravery of saying, do you know what? I'm actually going to give it a go. Even though I know it's totally not me and it's out of my comfort zone, I'm going to, or just sending the message to spark an interest in it.
Yeah.
So that is, well, what do you respond to people when they message you being like, I have no idea why, but I'm sending you a message, you know?
And like, that's my favorite message to receive because that's it. Like, we can't comprehend what the calling is. Like, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe, we just got home from Australia and I had a 2-year-old and I had just turned 1-year-old and we hadn't thought it through. We came home, we were kind of living between families' houses. Mm. And one night, like, yeah, I was meditating at this stage because I'd had a bit of a, you know, I'd had a bit of a downtime after the babies and I had to kind of reinvent myself and meditation and stuff really helped.
Mm.
But I wouldn't say that I was like, I certainly wasn't in tune with what I am today.
Mm.
And I was just lying in bed and I clear as day saw an image of myself pouring chocolate. And at this stage, like, I was just all in, like, organic food, you know, like, I was just an over-the-top parent, like, no, they can only have organic,
yeah.
And I was on that vibe, and I was like, yeah, that vision must have been that I should create a chocolate bar, and, because I had no concept for what this was, and then I ended up at an event later on that year where we had a cacao ceremony, and I was like, oh my God, this is weird, but this is it. And it's just this deeper thing. Like, I've no idea what it is. I don't know anything about it. Like, I knew nothing about it. I didn't hear all about it, then experience it. Yeah, that's for me. It was really like, I knew it was for me, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So that's why I resonate with that feeling of, like, I don't know what this is, but something inside me is like, try it.
Yeah.
It's that greater calling from something deeper within you that's like, I want to awaken in this lifetime. And this is the means. This is closer. This is a step closer to that. And it's that little inner guidance, that little tiny voice, that little tiny feeling or sense perception or something that just takes us to the next breadcrumb always to bring us to like closer to that self that we're meant to be.
Absolutely. When you talk about that inner voice, do you know who that is? What it is? You know, what for me, when I hear that, when I meditate and I have that inner voice that, you know, I ask a question and I get the answer. For me, that's my soul.
Mm.
And that's my soul that is connecting. That is the point where I'm connected to the universe and the universe is connected to me. And that is the middleman is my soul. I don't know. I still don't know. Sometimes I'm like, it's female, it's male. It changes. I think it's both, to be honest. And it guides me and gives me the answers when I need them. But some people would say that's intuition, or some people that say that's your subconscious. Some people that would say it's just your mind. You're just thinking about things. For you, where does it lie?
I definitely feel I resonate with soul. Mm-hmm. I definitely know it. But I also think nearly that there's like the intuition that guides us to get closer to the soul.
Yes.
So I think nearly like the voices and the nudges and the feelings and the little guidance is the intuition that is guiding us closer to the soul.
Yes.
So I don't like my soul is obviously driving the intuition because my soul wants me to know itself fully in every lifetime, you know, like it wants me to remember more of what I actually am.
Yes.
So the intuition is the little things that push us closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are like brave enough to say, I don't know why, but something in me wants to try it. And then that's the best for us. Like people think it's so complicated or it's such a, you know, I'll get there in time or like to be aware is the only step. Yeah. Like I say to people when I serve cacao every time, you know, like things might start to move. You might cry or you might feel numb.
Mm.
People assume feeling numb is really bad. But if you're aware that you feel numb,
yeah,
what's greater than that? There is no, there is no advance beyond. It's the awareness. Be able to be fully aware of yourself is the gift.
Absolutely. And to, because not only is it your awareness, but it's your notification to yourself that you're present.
Yes.
Which is, for me, that's that every day, that's what you're trying to get closer to, to be more and more present, to be more and more aware, to be more and more like in it.
Yeah.
You know,
because the mind trap is that when I'm aware, I'll be happy all the time.
Yes.
No, the goal is to be present all the time, regardless of what the experience is.
Yeah.
I'm not in the goal. But
when you talk about, you reference their lifetimes. So what is your view of it all, shall we say? Mine is that we've all been here before in some context, some of us more times than others, and we're here for a reason to fulfill, inverted commas, a soul contract, so to speak. So for yourself, what is your understanding of it?
Pretty much the same. Like, I think we had past lives and then we come here and like we either learned the lesson in the last life or else it's like,
and hey, keeps coming back to repeat us.
Yeah, yes. And then each life you awaken more. And I think the purpose is that you wake up to the cosmic joke. And you're like, all of the drama, all of the lessons, all of the gripping and uptightness. And then you're like, I just feel like, I nearly feel like the purpose of life is to be able to stay lighthearted.
Yes.
Through it all.
Yeah.
You know, like me and my friend often joke about this, like, how often we eat cake. But like, if you can be lighthearted about that, I don't think it's that bad for you.
So where did this mindset develop within you? At what stage in your life?
Yeah, it's interesting because like, after I had my first baby, I went through a really hard time. And
how old were you when you had your first baby?
21.
So very young.
Yeah, very young. And I had him in Australia.
Away from your family and everything.
Yeah, so I was in Australia, got pregnant, had my first two babies over there. But yeah, I came home after a little while actually and relationship breakdown and stuff. And then, yeah, I just fell into a real dark place and then I found meditation and I started reading, I think The Four Agreements was the first book and then a bit of Lisa Nichols. And I remember reading all, but it was almost like none of it felt new. It felt like it was like confirmation to be who I always was. And I was like, I've always like been like this or known this, but I always just thought I was too sensitive or too, like I was just was like, if that's who I am, then I don't fit into this world. So I was always trying to fit in and adapt to this world. And then when I was reading these things and meditating, I was like, this is easy. Oh, well, I can do this. This is grand. I just couldn't do that. And that's why I was suffering, because I was trying to do that, but that wasn't who I am. And now I'm like reading this and I'm like, oh, this is great. Because this, I can be this easy. You know, and I know for some people it's not so easy because they really thrive in that world. You know, the really mind-based, academic, solid, you know, they really want solid, like this is black and this is white and there's the solid. But I really just could never.
Yes.
You know?
And that's actually a very interesting point that you make, because that's kind of where my struggle lies. I, you know, ask so many questions, which is why I'm probably in the right job, right? I enjoy asking questions. I question everything, you know, and I'm like that child that when you say you can't have that, I'm like, but why? You're not able to do that, but tell me why. always, I've never not been like that, always question. And even if somebody, you know, is like, this person is a certified, you know, academic, they're whatever, they've got H227 numbers at the end of their name, I'm like, but what if that's not right? And what if there is an alternative to that? And what if what you've been taught is incorrect? Or what if there is a different way to do whatever it is? You know, and it's gotten me into, like, you know, arguments. And it's taken me into a weird space where you feel, you know, I struggled, and I still do in a capacity, you know, struggle with, like, acceptance, and I want to be liked by everyone. It's a lot less now that I'm kind of getting into a more centered place. But when I was younger, I used to have, like, you know, a real need for people to accept me and to love me and to like always want to be around me. So when you put yourself into that situation where you go up against people or you disagree with them in some capacity, it sets off a kind of an inner conflict where it's going against what you want, but you know, so it's a bit of a back and forth on it. And I always sit back and I wonder, like, why am I like this?
But I think from my perspective, I think you're right, and I think the people who...
Well, I think I'm right too, Natasha. Yeah.
No, but I think I think the people who don't want to be questioned are nearly like, don't shatter this reality. I've only just got solid ground.
Yeah.
Don't start me off.
Yes.
Like, don't make me question this whole thing again.
Yeah.
I want this to be solid. Like, stop. Yeah. I found this. This is true. If you ask me questions, it makes me guess it and doubt it. And I don't want that.
Or it makes me have to face
the fact that I know nothing.
That I don't know anything. And, you know, everything that I know could be a lie.
Yes.
You know, and the more you know, the less you know.
Yes.
You know, this is what it... And when I say that, I'm totally okay with being challenged myself. And I'm totally okay with someone coming to me with stuff, because I've learned now to sit in a space of acceptance of, okay, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Or I don't really agree with that, but that's an interesting point and I take it on board. You know, take what resonates and then... discard what
is. And it's
is.
Especially true to have that, like, look at the guru culture.
Yes.
So many people didn't have that.
Yeah.
Questioning or like, but why?
Yeah.
And then they were led down all sorts of garden paths, you know, so.
But it's an interesting one as well, because there's definitely this sort of, would you say a resurgence of, you know, spirituality? And with that comes toxic spirituality.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've always, you know, like, spirituality is not a meme that you post on your story on Instagram.
You know? I wish it was.
I wish it was too, because I would be actually floating now. I'd be so enlightened. But it's, you know, and that, you know, and it's not a yoga session, and it's not stretching, you know, with a herbal tea in the afternoon. It is like a deep, dark, you know, digging into your shadow and your mind and asking why and going through the pain and going through the fire of it. It's not comfortable.
That's
why not a lot of people get the privilege of doing it, right?
Yeah.
But for you, like, you've obviously gotten to a point now where you look at how far you've come and know that this is the right way to be. Does that make sense? Like, that you have to do this. You have to sort of go through the fire, shall we say.
Yeah, it's nearly just that, like, that's it. Like, you think to be spiritual looks this way. Like, I can't shop a H&M ever again now. I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
I certainly...
Pennies is out. Done. My penny socks are gone.
No, that's it. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm going to cry. There's penny socks in the room. No, like, there's so much. And, like, and even, like, because I went on the extreme with food. Like, no, I want to be fully vegan. And, like, then I was, like, fully medical medium, which is, like, if you read his books, like, that's an extreme sport.
Isn't he the celery guy? Celery on an empty stomach?
Yeah. So, like, but I was, like, wouldn't eat any food that wasn't, like, on his list. Is, like, it's an intense sport, honestly.
Yeah.
And then I realized that, like, none of that makes me spiritual. None of it. Like, what makes me spiritual is that I realize I'm a soul having a human experience, and that whenever I'm grasping and trying to find solid ground, I'm disconnected from that truth that I'm fundamentally, I'm nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm a blip in the system.
Absolutely. Are you still vegan?
No.
What changed? How did you get on to veganism? And then what changed?
So, like, yeah, food's been a wild one for me. I just have a guiding word with food now. Mm. And it's quality. I just choose quality. Mm-hmm. So if I eat meat, it's going to be organic and it's going to be grass-fed and it's going to be really good quality. Mm-hmm. And likewise, I choose organic fruit and vegetables a lot. And I look at it as a bigger picture. I look at it as like where, like every time I spend my money, I'm making a vote so I don't shop in supermarkets mm-hmm. as much as I can. Obviously, I've got 3 kids, so like human.
Yeah. I can't believe you have 3 kids. You look so great.
It's all spiritual.
I know people who have 3 kids. They don't look like you. I hope they're not fucking listening.
No, it's and yeah, and do you know what? When I was so, like, I thought, no, like, I'm really out of alignment if I eat this food and blah, blah, blah. But then I was, like, really isolated. Because who can cater for that level of...
Yeah.
Of standard.
Yeah.
So then I felt like I was never able to go anywhere with my friends, and I almost felt like people were having to apologize for the food, and I was like, that's not who I am.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Like please guys, eat the cake. Like realized like I was disconnecting from myself, the lighthearted me that doesn't really, you know, like, and then this is kind of something that I haven't really figured out if it's absolute enabling myself my own sugar addiction or if it's like genuine wisdom. But like, look, this physical body's not going to make it out alive. It's going back to the ground,
yeah,
whether I like it or not. Mm-hmm. So like, why not just have a ball while I'm here?
Yeah, well, that is like, it's a balance. Yeah, balance is the word, right? Balance is the word of the day, because, you know, like that asking the questions, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, my head is about to spin off and I'm like, but why? How is that possible? And people are like, it just is, you know, and, you know, it's just, that's just the way it is. You just, we will never know. You know, there's things out there that we will never know, and you have to be okay with that. But it is that balance of, like you say, respecting the physical, the physical host for your spiritual side, but also living a little.
Just being lighthearted about it. Like, and even if, you know, like Eckhart is one of my favorite teachers, and he says, like, if you go to the fridge and you eat a chocolate cake and then the chocolate cake is halfway down your throat and then you're like, how did I even get this? It was such an automatic way. Mm-hmm. But if you think, I'm going to go and have a gorgeous coffee and a gorgeous cake, you go and get it and you sit down and you enjoy every bite and it was all consciously chosen.
Yeah. What's the harm
in
that?
What's the harm?
Yeah. I really, so like, really want a cup of tea and a cake right now.
And that's
we didn't think this through.
That's the thing. I just think like life as ceremony, that's like, that's what I want to offer.
Do you believe that this is kind of all in line with your life purpose?
Yeah, I do.
When you hear the words life purpose, what does that mean to you?
Trust in the nudges for this journey. Yeah. Just trust in every little nudge that will all make sense and it will all be a breadcrumb of this, like, this journey.
How do the nudges show up for you?
Mostly through, like, I can sense things, like, real fast. Like, I can pick up on sense. Yeah, I sense. And it, like, I sense it, or I see something twice and then I sense that there's, or like if I just see like that painting, it means nothing. But then I see that one and I sense that there's something there. Do you know what I mean? It's just a little deeper. And it's like, again, what I was saying about people saying, I don't know why, but I feel like I want to try it. It's just a little sense, or it's not a voice. There was no clear message like you need to try it. It was just this something that's like, it's a sense of excitement, isn't it? Like,
I get words. Words show up for me. So like, if I don't know even how to give an example. So if I, you know, if we were sitting here and we're talking about, like, we say heart coherence or whatever it is. And then if I went out onto the street, a big truck with, like, you know, the Heart Foundation or something written on the truck would be. And then I take that as a nudge from the universe to tell me that I'm on the right path, that this is something now that, you know, that just I'm on the right path. It's hard to explain.
No, I
but it just ran like such random. Like it happened last week where I was walking and I broke my ankle in jiu-jitsu a couple of years ago, and I haven't been as good as I should be from my mobility exercises. It was kind of starting to pain me, and I was like, I really need to get on top of this. I went to a medium, and she gave me a reading, and as I was leaving, she grabbed my hand and she said, sort your toe and your ankle out. And I nearly shot myself. I was like, and I have a broken toe on the same foot that I broke my ankle, but I broke it when I was a child, and I didn't know at the time. So it's still got a broken bone and I have to get it fixed, but you'd be in crutches and all that for ages. So I was telling myself when I was walking into town, yeah, I really need to sort that out. And then whatever way I looked up, there was a little sticker on a lamppost and it said aches. And I knew then, yeah. There you go. So stuff like that. Now I have one friend here who I tell that story to and they go, oh my God, wow, that's incredible. And then I tell another friend on the other side of the table and they go, you're a fucking nut job.
Yeah.
You need to sort your shit out. Sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just, again, it's just.
And sometimes I have them two people in my own head.
Like, yes.
I did a Kundalini Reiki training. Like, and I said to the lady that was teaching us, I was like, if I pick up on the sense that like a friend is pregnant, that because I have real strong, like I can almost pick up when a pregnancy is around someone, yeah. Like real fast. I said, am I making that happen? Like, am I the cause of that? Like, because I'm generating the thought so much because it keeps coming.
Yeah.
Or is that
intuition.
Like a sense? Yeah. And she was like, you can't manifest for someone else. So it is just picking up and very visual as well. So like my dreams, I would be, it's very psychic. But I think like, is that something I'm worried about? And then it's showing up in a vision or, you know, so I have all these doubts myself. And I think skepticism is good.
Yeah, it is. Well, it keeps you grounded, doesn't it? For me, it does. You know what I mean? And I like, again, like what we were going back to about not looking the typical way or not set. I like that I can kind of be, you know, what I call a bit of a little weirdo when I'm in my house on my own. You know what I mean? And I'm like looking out to the stars, you know, conjuring up my visualization for the next year. You know what I mean? And I'm like, God, if some lad that watches Fight Connect TV knew that I was like, you know... meditating on a poof down out in the gaff, you know, they'd be like, she's bleeding nuts. But I like that, and I like that it's almost private. I'm obviously talking about it now, but it's private to me in that, you know, I don't kind of go around and like say, oh, I'm so spiritual, you know. It's like it's a personal thing, like like anything, like religion, your
and
beliefs
it makes it
or whatever
accessible. It makes people think like, oh, phew, I can meditate and know what I truly am and be connected to the truth and not like never be able to wear H&M again.
Yes.
Jackpot.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. But the Reiki, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's Kundalini Reiki. It was,
So what is it, the difference between Reiki and Kundalini Reiki?
So essentially, Kundalini Reiki was just like, you get attuned for three levels and it clears the Kundalini, so it clears the seven chakras.
Mm.
And then you're attuned to like transfer the energy, but it's only like, with regular Reiki, you like kind of go down the body yourself for an hour on each chakra with your hands. But with Kundalini Reiki, it's nearly intention based. So you just, for 5 minutes, hands on shoulders, intend and call upon say the words. And then the person lies down flat or with their back straight for 30 minutes and the energy is working within them. Mm-hmm. So it's less of me. Do you know, it's just, I'm just like attuned to call the energy to flow in this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Do you ever worry about getting into that sort of energy transfer or being around, you know, working that close to the energy of other people that, you know, you take on things or that you know, are not out of your depth? But do you know what I'm trying to say is in like, you don't know what someone else is bringing to the table, and then you're working into it. You know what I mean?
So I think sometimes, like in, I don't know. This is a very personal belief, and I wouldn't usually share so publicly. But I think some people mistake taking on energy as taking on emotions, and I don't think energy is ever really dirty or heavy.
Yeah,
I think emotions are.
Mm.
So like, if I go in and someone shares something really heavy emotionally, I can take that on, but that's not necessarily energetically.
Yes, okay.
So if I just feel a person and I feel energy leaving their body, I'm not going to... I have no... Like, the energy will just free flow back through me as well. It's only when it comes with an emotionally charged story that I will then hold it.
And you wear it then. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's so... I only had Reiki done for the first time last year. And I found this incredible woman, Reiki shamanic healer. And the first time I had it done... And I'd been very open to it, and I'd had lots of stuff done. I got past right life regression done. I'd done a lot of work with mediums and different things. But when I went to get the Reiki done, the first session, it was like just again. I didn't know whether she was brilliant or whether I am just very easily. I don't want to say what's the right word. Just open.
Yeah.
Open hearted. To the experience, but I really, really embraced it, and it was mental. It was we had the same vision. It was absolutely mental. I remember she started, and she had her hands over my chest, and that's where I store a lot of emotional pain, is in my chest. And if anything happens, I feel it's in my chest. And when I sleep, if I've had a stressful week, I always put my hand over my heart. It's only since working with her that she made me aware that I was talking about an experience or something that I was holding on to, I used to always just cover my heart, not knowing, with my hands and stuff. Very interesting, when you actually, when someone is observing that in you. And I remember she was started the Reiki, and it was so beautiful, the music, and she had the what's it called, raindrops, it's made of the shells. Oh, I can't think of it now. It's like a little instrument thing. It's like all these shells. I can't think what it's called anyway, but she was doing it and it was absolutely brilliant. But I just felt this heat, as if my entire body was gone in flames, as if she had set me on fire. Absolutely. And I could see her hands, and I knew she was actually finding the area. She was trying to work through it. And then I just got this collective bunch of what seemed like spirits, just collective people, and just telling me, don't be alarmed. We're here to help you, And then they were sending me these different little messages. And then I kept visualizing this woman in armor coming out of flames.
Wow.
And when I came out of it, she was like, I'm just going to leave you for a 5 or 10 minutes. And then she was like, just gather your thoughts. And came back in, and she came back in. I was like, bone crying. And I was like, I don't know what happened. And she was like, basically saying how much do you want to talk about it? If you want to talk about the experience, let's do it now. And do you want me to share my, and she was asking me all these questions. I was like, just tell me, give me the answers. Why is this happening? And then I was like, what did you see? And she was like, I saw, and if I had told her first, I wouldn't have believed it, but she said to me, I saw a woman in armor coming out of fire, forging a sword in the fire, and wielding a sword as she came from the fire. And she was like, that's your inner, that's your spirit guide. That's who's guiding you. And I honestly felt like Joan Arc for 10 minutes, but I was like, where is my sword? I was like, I'm ready to take on whatever it is. She was like, that is, it's funny, laughing about it now, but at the time I took it very seriously. And she was like, that is your strength. She was like, you've got a massive, you've got a massive capacity for strength, and that is your fundamental, strength, is that how strong you are, and how just said all this really, really nice stuff that kind of put me at peace a little bit with stuff. Yes. that it was. But when I remember walking out of there, and I felt like I was walking on clouds. I had to get into bed, and I went straight to, it was 7 o'clock in the evening, and I slept until 3 o'clock the next day. It was just such an emotional wavelength. It was incredible.
No, I got goosebumps there when you were talking, and that's it. You had to choose that meant something.
Exactly.
And you had to choose that, that's it. You just have to know that there's more than what you see and what you feel, and like this dense, solid reality, like there's more.
Yeah.
And like that, like what you're saying, if you see a word and you see a word again, someone else might be saying, "Ah, sure, that means nothing." And someone would be like, "Wow."
Mm.
And that's it. Like you're open to knowing that there's more, or you're not. And like that experience was you had to be like, you have to be a certain level of open for that to, because that was an extremely beautiful experience.
Totally. Do you know what it's like? I remember there was reading or watching something before about the argument of what's that game that you play when you're in the car with your parents? The car game? Yellow car? Well, you don't pay, not with your parents, but they're usually driving when you're a child. It's called the yellow car game or something. And every time you see like a yellow car, you have to give the person next to you a dead arm and go, "Yellow car." You know, so the first, like it's, I mean, I don't play it anymore, but we used to play it when we were children. But there was something on it that, you know, or yellow reg. Maybe it's called yellow reges. Yellow reges, right? That the more you consciously look for in your mind a yellow reg, the more they're going to show up for you. So there's an argument there that like, well, that's the reasoning behind that. And maybe it is. But even that as itself is enough to tell you that there's some kind of mass consciousness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That like there is something bubbling and festering over there. And it's just ignorance, I feel, not to respect that or not to explore that in some capacity. You know?
I agree. I fully agree. And like, I also respect everyone to have their own, you know, if they want to stay close, stay close. And, but I'm very much in the idea of like respecting the, respecting the sacredness, you know, and especially in terms of Wicca cow, like that's something that's really big for me. Like I've no desire to like sell cacao or serve cacao when there's no respect. If you're not open, then that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I've no desire, like, that's why I have no desire to, like, make it a big thing, a big bandwagon thing.
Yeah.
Do you know, that's why, like, people come and say when they feel called, and that's what's right. Mm. That's how, like, there's a saying with the medicine that when the Western world falls so far out of harmony, cacao will emerge as a spirit, as an entity, as an energy. And, like, so, like you're saying, so someone might have seen cacao, like, let's say on Instagram. And for someone else, they'll see it 10 times and it won't matter. But for someone else who saw it and it resonated, their Raz will then be looking out for it. That's called your reticulated, I don't know, it's a fancy name.
Yeah.
Look it up. If Daniela was here, she would so know that that's her job. But like, so you actually are looking out for something, but it's when it's a resonance with you.
Yes.
So you, like, you're in resonance with wanting to know more. So then you're looking for clues to say that there's more.
Yes.
You know, so it's a bit of both. Like there is a part of your brain that's actively looking out for the thing to confirmation, but also it would have resonated, you know. And like some people come to our events and they're like, "I know that I need to use that again." And some people are like, "Yeah, it's great. Big deal. See you later." Do you know what I mean?
Let's talk about your events. The still.
Yeah.
Tell everyone about the still.
So, yeah, like me and you spoke at that event, and then myself and Daniela, she happened to be at that
event. This is Daniela Moyles?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she happened to be at that event, and then we just connected, and I was doing cacao, and she had just been traveling, so she knew all about it. But when she came here, she was like, "I can't believe someone's talking about this here."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I can't believe someone's excited."
But didn't she randomly just turn up like she was getting coffee or something outside?
It was
outside?
So synchronistic. Yeah, that's it. And I feel like ever since that, like, that's it. Like, I haven't been looking out for it, but I've just been trusting life. And, like, I always say, ever since that moment, or if probably a week before that event, I feel like, you know, in Finding Nemo when they're on the turtle's back.
Yes.
And they're just in the rift. It's just, they're just going. I actually feel like that. Like I'm just on a turtle's back here and just going in the flow of life. And yeah, then we just started doing, it was so funny when we look back, like we were just running off pure excitement.
Mm.
There was no financial gain in it, but we were just so excited that we were both just at a point in our lives where we didn't really know what was next. And Daniela was home to study psychotherapy and I was doing cacao. And obviously she'd just done her yoga training and neither of us knew what we were going to do. But then, and then we started doing these events and then it all just kind of clicked and it was perfect time and it was alignment. It was like, and then obviously lockdown, then we it all just kind of, we were like, we were booked to do Wellfest. We were going to do a book launch all around, like Cork, Galway, Dublin. Everything was flying, and then it was all just gone.
Mm.
And we were like, oh, okay, what do we do? And then it didn't feel like right to put it online. And then Cacao in and of itself as its own entity, me aside, like I don't take any credit. I went from being like, nobody knew what it was. Like just, I always just felt like, you know, I'm banging my head against the wall. No one, like people would be like, oh great, it's full of magnesium. Oh great, it's full of iron. And I always just gave people the option to choose. Like, and I would say, look, if you're into CrossFit, then you'll be like, oh yeah, that gives me energy to get a workout. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Reiki master, you're going to be like, wow, the potency of this energy. I can feel it as a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I just always gave people the right to choose what their experience was. Well, I know, and whether you're aware of it or not, it's a spirit, you know, it's an energy. I didn't force that on anyone. And then in lockdown, like, I just, like, it was insane. I don't feel like I can take any credit, because it was fully this spirit of this chocolate that wanted to open everybody's hearts when they were in a time of despair and no one knew what was going on. And all of a sudden it was just like, I couldn't get enough cacao here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I couldn't contain everybody's, like there was like 100 blocks leaving my house a month. And then I was like going to the Portable for swims, and like people were meeting me there, and I was like, this is absolute drug dealing.
Literally, you're saying that all I can see is you packing like
it's a
big brown blocks into the back of your car.
Everywhere I go, I just keep a couple because I'll be like, have you got any onion? Can we change the language, lads? Any onion? Don't say that.
Yeah. In the middle of the 40 foot.
Yeah. Oh, and that's where that became the like dealing ground.
But in terms of, you know, like we'll say, how long does it take you to get it over here?
So
just in case someone was inquiring on doing a deal.
That's what so like I just order it in bulk, so then I just post it on post. It takes 2 days. But if they order, like it comes from Belgium, so it could, like during lockdown it was taking 2 weeks or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it's usually about a week or so, and I usually always have some, but except in random times when there's an
Someone input. Has this podcast on and somebody else has just walked in the room. They're like, what the hell is going on there?
But it's so funny because like now I moved, and like so I don't do collection from my house because it's out of the way, but my mom's is in Dublin. And so I let people collect from there. My mom and dad, like, don't use it. But they're, like, always giving it out. And they're like, the neighbours are going to think all sorts of it.
Absolutely are. Yeah, absolutely.
It's for the greater good, mom.
What's your hope for the future with the still, with cacao, for yourself? What do you envision?
We've been able to really, like, find a flow with offering it online. And, I mean, there's something real special about serving me, getting my cauldron out and making the cacao and then serving it to you in a cup.
Yeah.
But we've been able to adapt and like give people the opportunity to make it themselves. And like, it was actually a real gift that I was nearly overlooking in my own alignment or life purpose, was like teaching people how to take a moment ceremoniously. Mm. So like whenever we're doing ceremony, I'll tell them beforehand, like take a minute and decide, where in the house do I want to sit?
Mm.
What do I want in my space? What type of cup do I want? What shape of a cup do I love? What do I like? What do I enjoy? What do I love? And people always say to me, do you not drink coffee now? And I'm like, no, I do. But I enjoy it. Like I feel the cup and it's a joyous event. Mm. It's ceremony. So like ceremony feels like it's reserved for this thing. But like if you can make anything be ceremony with just letting it be an expression of what you love.
That's so true. That is so true. You know, when you're talking there again, I was going in my room, right? You know, we'll say like on the weekdays when I get home pretty late, like I'll get home with whatever time from the studio here, and you know, I'll grab something to eat and I'll like, you know, clean my room or whatever. And then I'll be partying around. I'm like, my room isn't as special as it is on the weekends. And I only realized because I light all the candles on the weekends. I was like, is it because it's the working week and I'm at the studio and I'm busy and I'm doing all this? Like, no, because of the weekends, I'm chill, I'm relaxed, everything's flowing.
You took time to do things you love.
Lighting the candles, throwing on a bit of music, you know? And So then I was like, got home and it was still daylight out. And I was like, I'm going to light my candles. So I did. And I was delighted with myself. It was just when you were saying it there, I was like, the ceremony
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
It's so true, isn't it?
And so that's how we've been able to give people that experience in their home. So now we do the still experience online and we just serve single serves and we show people how to make it themselves. So it's nearly a greater experience because usually it just come. Well, I know in person is so potent and important, but yeah, we've been able to do great things online.
It's so exciting. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, and actually so our next events are obviously, they begin this Friday. I took a liking to early mornings over lockdown and I kind of just had everyone getting up at 5 a.m. drinking cacao. But like there was such a good, like it was just a good buzz around it. It was just so good. Everyone was waking up at that hour and people were saying like, it feels like it's Christmas in the morning because like no one intentionally wakes up at 5 a.m. And if you do, it's like, oh God, get me like dragging your, but like when you're getting up to like connect with a tribe and it's fun, it's for fun. It's not for a workout.
Hell yeah. Or like to go to work or to get a workout in. But that is such a good point on Christmas morning where you're like, it's actually 6:15 in the morning and I'm sitting here like, you know, waiting for my dad to put on the sausages and we're all like, I'm in my 30s. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, is it time to take the presents out? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's that, or, you know, now that we go out swimming at like 8 o'clock in the morning before we have our Christmas breakfast. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, it feels different to what it feels like to get up for work at 6:30 in the morning. And when you stop and think about why is that? It's the experience, it's the action, it's the mindset.
Yeah.
So when you look at even something like that, you see how easy it is to change your day and change how your day starts out. It's how you think about it, it's how you view it. You know, and that's always something. I have a little thing now when I wake up in the morning, before I even know what's going on, I just say thank you. I'm like, thank you so much. I'm programmed saying it. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful that I'm alive again today. And I go, yo, like, yes, what's going to happen today? I'm like, nothing's going to happen today. But I'm just saying, just trying to fake my body. You know what I mean?
I love that. That's brilliant.
Yeah. And it does make a difference because sometimes I end up laughing. So like you've had a little laugh. That,
yeah. It's a good chemical reaction.
Like, half asleep, I'm like, woohoo, what's going to happen today? And then I'm like, oh my God, if Mary, that is next door, if she hears me, like, she's gonna be like that absolute lunatic in there. But do you have any rituals yourself before we finish up? Do you have any kind of daily practices?
So yeah, that's my daily practice, where whatever it is, like taking a moment to consciously choose what do I love. Like even as far as like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere today, but like I'm gonna sit down right now and I'm gonna have a cup of cacao and I'm gonna light incense and a candle. I'm gonna put my favorite jumper on and I'm gonna pick my favorite mug. And just like, it doesn't matter. I don't have a certain time, obviously, because I'm a mom. I don't have a time when I know I'll have I love a ritual. Like ask my kids, like routine, whatever ritual. Yes. Like I'll be like, that's our new ritual. We're going to do this every day or whatever. I just love a ritual, but not necessarily. I'm not a structured, routine, disciplined kind of person. So I just, that's my ritual, is just to take a moment and decide what it is. Do I love, and take time to have that all around you.
With your kids, what are you doing, you know, obviously you don't have to go into detail, but what are you doing differently with them that you didn't get as a child growing up? Not to say that you were lacking anything, you're living in a different headspace now.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, like it's just, you know, I think the biggest thing is that they get to see me choosing me.
Yeah.
That's the biggest, that's the bigger thing, like, and just like having... like not feeling guilty that I give myself a ceremony every day, or that I give, or that I choose things I love for me, or that I have a favorite mug, or you know, because that's just such an old Irish way. Just don't have any. Just be a woman that gives.
Yeah.
And it, but not
that's
to yourself.
So true.
But not to yourself. You that know, like so don't swim true. Every day because you have kids. Well, no.
That is so true. That is so. You've actually just hit what? Because I don't have kids, so I always wondered, you know, why when I have friends who have kids and they, I can't do that. I'm like, why can't you? Why can't you? But it's just because we have the routine going on, or, you know, I need to do this, I need to do that. Or, you know, like, but it actually doesn't matter. Just go with the day.
I reframe my whole mind that, like, they're not seeing, like, so what they're seeing is, like, yeah, routine is good. Okay, they have a bedtime. Yeah, that's great. And they feel cared for and loved. But are they ever getting to really witness somebody choosing themselves, someone having fun, mm-hmm. someone having like just like having a ball. Mm-hmm. And because how will they know they can do that if they never see you doing it?
Yes.
And like when I think like, you know, I'm like, they were up in the universe, they saw me, they saw I was fundamentally flawed, they saw all my issues and they're like, yep, still want her. This I'm going to take her. Yeah. So like they came here and they knew who I was. And if they have an issue with that now, that's their soul journey.
Yes. Well, that is a very, what a brilliant ending to leave the podcast on, is that belief, because that's also something that I've it was in a couple of books that I was reading. I haven't done enough reading on it, but it is the idea that as souls, we choose our parents and we choose them for the reason of learning a particular lesson to help our soul on the journey of learning the lesson of our soul, helping us to go on the journey to complete our soul contract. And that, when you read that and when you hear that, I remember for the first time when I read it, I got like this weakness in my heart and I just forgave my parents for every little thing that I had held them accountable for. I'm like this because my mother's like this, or I'm not able to do this because my father's like this, or whatever it is. And then it just freed me. I was like, but if I believe that I have chosen them, how they are and how they are as people have shaped me to be who I am, flaws and all, then I have to thank them.
Yeah.
Because they're helping me to complete my self-contract.
Thank them, but you have to just take responsibility. Like, sugar, I chose them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's actually very special, you know, to think that it's a wild concept. And again, that's not for the faint-hearted. There are people out there that are like, you know, but I always say, look at Catholicism. You know, and especially in Ireland, and look at Catholicism in Ireland, and look at like how many people blindly have the, you know, have, I was going to say, are indoctrinated. Wrong word.
Close.
But how many people choose to believe the Catholic Church and to believe, you know, Catholicism. And essentially, you know, some people that are maybe atheists or people who are not into Catholicism, they hear, you know, their belief system, they go, they're fucking nuts. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, but that the whole mass of people believe something that other people believe to be nuts. So at the end of the day, no one knows anything. No. We don't know anything. So you just have to believe what you believe and get on with things.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you find your open space in that as well. So that if you come in here and you have your views, and then I come in here and I have my views, but we sit in a space in the table where we just both understand that we have views.
And the fundamental truth is that we could all just know we have views.
Yes.
Not truth, not facts. We have views.
Yes.
And we can all just go around having light chats mm-hmm. about that, but can we not be so aggressive?
Yes, we cannot. Listen, thank you so much for coming in, Natasha. That was such a good chat. It was brilliant. I feel light. Don't you?
Don't you, Shane? We got a lot off our chest today.
Got a lot off our chest. Yeah, I love everyone that comes in, but I particularly love anyone who's, you know, of the same thinking that I am, because it makes you, you share the load, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You feel that you're not alone in how you think.
Yes.
Which is a big thing.
Yeah, it's huge, especially
you know? Especially now when, like, you know, with coronavirus, people are split. You know, and there's very, people are split. That's really just the way to say it, isn't it? Without going into a coronavirus rabbit hole. But I'm glad we're on the same, we're down the same rabbit hole anyway.
I'm just getting nervous laugh right now.
Yeah. Natasha will be back in a couple of weeks and we'll do a whole episode on coronavirus. But no, seriously, thank you so much. And best of luck with the still. I'm so excited. You'll have to come back. Yourself and Daniela come in. When events come back up and let's talk about it. Maybe get a little cacao ceremony going.
Yes.
That would be really, fabulous, really cool. Yeah, it would be really nice so I can listen back to it then.
Yeah.
When I'm at home by myself. But yeah, thank you so much again.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. That is Natasha for the 53rd episode of The First Exchange.
Hold up. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.